This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 7th, 2012. I'm Caleb Brown. Mitt Romney may have won the battle, but the war for control of the Republican Party is far from over. Troubling is the fact that the apparent consensus choice for not Mitt Romney is Rick Santorum, who is openly hostile to libertarian ideas. John Samples, director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government, offers his thoughts. What are the big takeaways, as you see it, for libertarians watching Super Tuesday?
For libertarians, that I guess there's the sort of slow reality that Mitt Romney's going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. And it depends on what the alternative is in your estimate of that. The next alternative seems to be Rick Santorum. So I think most libertarians would probably say if they had to make that choice, that Mitt Romney's better than the candidate who is explicitly and self-consciously anti-libertarian. But Romney has avoided essentially the kinds of traps that would do away with his nomination at this point. In other words, he was not beaten decisively in Michigan. He won Michigan. And he didn't lose Ohio. He's managed to pull out a small victory. So he doesn't seem to be a candidate that attracts much enthusiasm, but he seems to be able to do well enough. And on the delegate side, he's going – the organization, and he'll have enough support to slowly
– As you note that Rick Santorum is actively anti-libertarian, and Mitt Romney owes a lot of his success to organization, to the fact that he was doing it 4 years ago and that he was essentially the guy who came in second last time. But for Santorum, it seems as if he's the consensus alternative to Mitt Romney, which I think should be pretty troubling.
Well, I think he has become the consensus alternative. It's not clear that how much of a role luck played in that. Certainly, he was able – both he and Gingrich were able to attract enough funding to continue the race. And there does go to this question of what conservatism means. And certainly, many people seem to be voting for Santorum in the Republican primaries because they think he is a true conservative. Now, that leads us, I think, to this interesting column by Ross Douthat in the New York Times, where he says basically, you know, Santorum may lose the battles here but yet win the war. That is, the Republican Party may become the Santorum Party. And what he means by that is what I would think of as big government conservatism. That is, Santorum supports a really active government to help blue-collar workers. That's the kind of short version of it. But an active government, and certainly not a free market set of policies on the economic side, and then, of course, on the cultural side, big government again to support and foster the cultural preferences of Mr. Santorum and his supporters. So I thought I'd go look at a study by a political scientist named James Stimson, just been published, to find out, you know, what can we – how many conservatives like that are there out there, these big government conservatives? And Stimson's data tells me that probably about 10% of the population is anti-free market and pro-cultural conservative. There's another 4% of these people that Stimson finds who identify themselves as liberals but have the basic anti-free market, pro-cultural conservatism outlook, but they identify as liberals. So I don't really count those among the Santorum party, as it were, because these people are very unlikely, I think, to vote for Santorum or a similar candidate in an election. So you have to wonder, what's that like comparatively speaking, compared to other numbers? About 13% of the population is consistent liberals. Something like in the area of 14-15% of the population support free market policies, according to survey data. I think the real problem with Douthat's idea about the Santorum party of the GOP of the future is that, you know, when you look at it, only about, Stimson says, about 17% of the country are culturally conservative in one way or the other. So really, you have to think that how much appeal is that going to have to more than 80% or so of the society? And I think cultural conservatism is one of those things that attracts some people. And again, we maybe 20% of the population or less. But the effects on others are, I think, not attractive. I don't think it's a winning combination in that sense. In the way that free market policies that promise and deliver welfare, you know, economic growth and so on, really don't bring out that sort of revulsion. The data suggests we got a very small group of people in the country, and the real question is how much appeal do they have to a much larger group that are not as ideologically consistent? And I think the answer is probably not much.
Leaving Newt Gingrich aside, you're welcome. What does this say for Ron Paul?
Well, Ron Paul continues to be now in the range of 8 to 12%. He continues to go forward. He has both support and enthusiasm from volunteers. He attracts a certain part of the GOP base. And I think this is – he has gone in this year and libertarianism in the party has gone this year from being sort of a marginal figure that didn't do very well to a figure that has put this on the agenda for the future, right, libertarianism. A more consistent libertarianism. And so this ball will have to be taken by others and run with, but I think there's been a good – this has been worth doing for sure on the Paul side. My numbers suggest that something like maybe a third or more of people who identify as conservatives are in that area of not Paul supporters necessarily, but – are free market oriented, free market policies. So it's a substantial part also of the Republican base, I would guess, when you add other factors. So I think he's made a breakthrough, not a final move, but an incremental move that is in fact not just one step forward, but more than one steps in what might be a much more Libertarian Party in the future.
It's troubling, though, to look at numbers on conservatives and who they are and how many conservatives support free market policies and see that that number is pretty low.
Well, I guess if I had to just put it down, generally speaking, I would say 35-40% of the country identifies as conservatives. About a third of those support free market policies. A third support cultural conservatism but don't support free market policies. And then weirdly, and this – if you don't know public opinion data, this will sound strange to you – about a third of the people who say they are conservative to surveys basically when you ask them other questions support liberalism on economic policies and on cultural matters. So a number of people who say they're conservative are actually – the only reason you have to think that is they tell you because otherwise they look like liberals.
So many of these people identify good things with the word conservative and yet hold opinions that don't jive with most conceptions of that term?
Yes. It's also true of liberals. About one-fifth of liberals or a little over one-fifth basically have conservative views on policy matters. That's the wonderful thing about the Stimson work is that he just doesn't ask you about your political philosophy. He asks you about policy questions. So you can measure how to what extent people have consistent views or what they actually believe about policies to the extent that public opinion can do that.
John Samples is director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government. He's also author of The Struggle to Limit Government. You can get your copy at cato.org.